David Corson was on our show a couple of weeks ago, and it was a very, very insightful and moving interview. So welcome back, David Corson.
Well, mahalo nui loa, Cindy. It's great to be back with you on The Travel Show.
Now, in case some of you listening didn't have a chance to hear the show a couple weeks ago, David does a show here on Ko'oi Radio, Family Focus. David's also a pastor at the South Maui Calvary Chapel. And he is a person that likes to go around the world and help people in third world countries and those in need, and has been doing it most of his life.
That's right, for decades now, Cindy.
Yeah, and you happened to have gone to Nepal, was it 12 times?
Over 12 times over the last 10 years, that's correct.
And so you had a lot of friends that were definitely impacted. And when you have that kind of thing happen, you want to do something. You had personally with three friends who passed away in that earthquake.
That's correct, Cindy. We had three very good friends in Nepal that passed away as a result of the earthquake. That's all we know about right now. There could be others, and of course, many more have been injured.
Well, at this point, the death toll has now topped 8,000 people, and 18,000 are injured. And I kind of have an issue with newscasts, but I understand it. When you do, newscasts relate to things that are going on that are happening right now and very current, and so you'll get it all over the news the first two or three days, and then a couple of weeks after an event happens, like this last newscast at the top of the hour, didn't of course even mention the earthquake in Nepal. Basically, people get tired with the story. Now, if it had happened here in California, you know, that'd have been another story, but it's a long ways away. And of course, a lot of people have not been to Nepal, and they don't know what an amazing journey it is just to get there. And then if they haven't been there, they don't know how difficult it is to survive there without the help. You personally have been to the outer villages.
Yes, we have, Cindy. Over the last 10 years, it's been our joy and our delight to travel from Maui to Kathmandu, the capital of Nepal, that little country sandwiched between China to the north, India to the south. And then we would make our way out of the capital of Kathmandu up into the rural villages high up in the Himalayas. In fact, some of these villages are so remote, Cindy, that some of the people that live there have never even seen a wheel.
I think we have Katira joining us now. Are you there, Katira?
Yes, I am. I'm so sorry. I'm a bit late. I didn't realize the time is flying.
I said that out in Huelo, time is in a different zone. It flies at a different speed in Huelo than it does here in Kahului. I know that for sure. And joining us also, Katira, in the studio is a man I want to introduce you to. His name is David Corson, and he's been to Nepal 12 times, and he's going to be going back there. In about a week, is that right, David?
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Yes.
To try to get some work done there and help done for Nepal. Have you ever been to Nepal, Katira?
Oh, I lived there in 78 and worked there, and I go there every year and also do work in Nepal. And I'm right now also like David is your name, correct?
Yes, Katira. Aloha. So
aloha.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, I am also right now supporting some humanitarian help, and one is with bamboo shelters, and the other one is the mountain people with fresh water. Yes, I'm active since the big earthquake.
I didn't know you'd live there. You lived in it must have been very interesting way back in 78 there. I can't even imagine what it was like then.
Oh, it was beautiful. Actually, it looked what Nepal, what Bhutan looks right now.
Really?
Just really very, very serene and beautiful and clean and no pollution. Certainly much different than it looks right now.
How long were you there for, Kateri?
About a year.
Oh,
I was
a long time.
2 years, but I also traveled in a year about in Nepal.
Wow.
It was called the SATA, the Swiss Association for Technical Assistance. They were doing cheese factory, building bridges, and the Swiss people were very active in Nepal, and they were the only one who were at that time allowed in Bhutan.
Oh,
nobody
really?
Else was able to go into Bhutan around that time.
And did you have a Swiss passport?
Oh, yeah, I'm Swiss.
I'm
double. I have an American passport. Uh-huh. Actually, this year, Cindy, I'm living 30 years on Maui.
Wow, congratulations. I've been here about 26 years this year, but I didn't know you'd been here 30. Well, I know you're going to be going to Bhutan again now. You've been going to Bhutan and leading groups now for a few years, right?
Yes. I mean, if I'm adding all the times up I have been in Bhutan, I would say I'm coming to over a year staying there.
Wow. And you know, it's funny. I was talking to David this morning. I mentioned you were going to be calling in, and David was in Bhutan how many years ago?
Just a few weeks ago.
A few weeks ago.
Just for one day. That's all.
How did you go for one day, David? Tell me, what's the secret?
The secret is having the right friends and having connections.
I mean, but what were you able to do in one day?
Only just go just across the border. That was all.
He works with the villages, helping the villages up in what area of that in Nepal?
Well, we're working in two areas of Nepal primarily. One is the Langtang area, and the other is the Annapurna area in Nepal.
I see.
So they just went over for the day. But I've always wanted to go to Bhutan, and I haven't been able to. But I wasn't aware till this morning when I talked to David that actually the people from India don't pay the heavy visa prices, and they don't have the hard time getting in and out. It's just that the Americans do, right?
Well, not just the Americans. Because this, India and all the countries around there called to the SARC. That's the kind of like the European community. They also have an Asian community called the SARC, and they have a treaty among them where they can go for much cheaper. They pay almost to nothing, but they still do pay something, but no comparison of what we pay from America or Europe or any the rest of the world.
And they do this on purpose, I guess, for a couple of reasons. They charge, how much would a typical visa cost if someone were just going to go to Bhutan on their own?
Well, a visa is per day, it's $250.
$250, wow.
Mm-hmm. Per day.
Wow. So you're doing a trip when?
On the 10th of October to the 20th. And I take the people really into the heart of Bhutan, not just around the border, though I have been down at the border too, because they have a almost like a terai where it's very tropical, bananas growing and papayas, and then you can go up to the high tops of the Himalayas where you see the snow leopards. My trip this time is probably going to be with a different awareness, because it has hit me very hard about Nepal, of seeing those temples I have as a kid almost, you know, in my early 20s, sit on those step of the temples, and each time I would go to those temples, and now they are a pile of gravel. And just imagine, Bhutan has a tremendous architecture and beautiful monastery, and if they would come down or fall into gravel, I mean, I can't even think about that. It's just, so I'm going with much more appreciation and gratitude and presence of, like, right now it's there, who knows what's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Well, they even felt some of the earthquake, I think, in Bhutan, didn't they?
But nothing really happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they had about 4 years an earthquake in the very east in Mungar, and lots of damage. And the only thing what survived was the bamboo. And after that, the prime minister said to me, so Kutjara, now we are ready for your bamboo houses. And since then, I built two bamboo houses in Bhutan.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And so on this trip, how does it work for people? And how can people go on the trip that you're taking? And where are you going to take them?
I start in Paro and then go to Thimphu. And from Thimphu, we go all the way to Phu-Nakhon into the heartland. I mean, not quite to Bumthang, because the time doesn't really permit. And I bring to almost all the beautiful places which have touched my heart, and I show them the cultural side. We would never leave out the phenomenal, how call it, one of the seven world wonders, the tiger's nest. That's that picture you probably used to see on postcards or in advertisement of this beautiful monastery carved into the wall, where Guru Padmasambhava flew on the back of a tiger and built that place there and sat there and meditated. So for many of the Buddhists, it's a very holy shrine to go, It's like for the Muslim Mecca. So I show the people and also let them interact with the many, many friends I have there. And I would say my trips are a little bit different than just the normal travel agency. I am not a travel agent person. I'm doing that for the people. I really love to show what has touched my heart.
And you do, these are very small trips you do, small gatherings. How many people are going to be going, or can you have on this trip coming up in October?
I need to have a minimum of 10 people, and I will have a maximum of 16 people.
And so it's very intimate.
Yeah, so that we can be also with families.
So when someone books this, what does it include?
It includes everything besides the flights.
Mm-hmm.
So everything. I mean, the transportation, the foods, the hotels, the guidance, everything. What is included is if they want to drink any beer or any wine. That's very rare there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not. But the rest, everything is covered. And of course, if you buy some souvenirs, that's also on.
So it includes the cost of the visa, the $250 per day.
Yeah.
So how much does it cost to do this trip?
$4,450.
Mm-hmm. And that includes everything. You just have to. How do you fly over there?
For example, here from Hawaii, I fly to Bangkok, and then from Bangkok there is a straight flight into Bhutan, into Thimphu. And some other people who come from Europe, they can fly into New Delhi and fly from New Delhi. So there are only about four places right now who you can reach Bhutan. One is from Bangkok, New Delhi, Singapore, and also Nepal.
But what kind of airlines flies from Bangkok to Bhutan? What airlines do you take?
It's only one airline who flies in, and that's their own Bhutanese airline, and it's called Truk Air. And Truk means in Bhutanese dragon. So it's the dragon air who flies you in. So theoretically, you fly in the back of a dragon into Bhutan.
Ah, got it. Well, this is really, it's an interesting trip, and truly, it's one I've always wanted to do. I can still see if I can arrange it. I was going to go on that trip with Dr. Wayne Dyer, who's going to Jerusalem. On that cruise with, I think it's Dr. Wayne Dyer and a couple of other people, but that's going to be a longer trip. And this one, should people fly in? October, what, you want a day or two before?
They all have to gather on the 10th of October in either Bangkok or New Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
They all have to take the flight or from Singapore on the 10th of October, as I will be waiting for them. I will be already in Bhutan when they arrive, but I will be waiting there at the airport and pick them all up.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And then it's how many days there in Bhutan?
10 days.
10 days, that's wonderful.
On the 20th, they will be leaving wherever they choose to leave, you know, if they want to. I had, in the beginning, I had an additional shorter program than going from Bhutan into Nepal, but this one now got cancelled due to the earthquake, and so I have to adjust to those dates with something else. Certainly all my friends are very busy now with humanitarian services, and I think October is too early to go back to Nepal because they have to take care of other parts right now than tourism.
Yeah, definitely. I know, I mean, I'm thinking even of the orphanages. There was a lot of orphanages in Kathmandu, because there are a lot of refugees from Tibet landed up going to Kathmandu, and there were many orphanages there for children.
Yeah, there's lots of work to do. I just only truly hope it will not be the same. Like, you remember when Bali had bomb attack, and after that so many people would not go back to Bali, and the people that got hurt, because after all, Bali lives from tourism. And so does Nepal. Nepal is a very touristic place for its gateway to the Mount Everest. And I truly hope that the country can recoup as fast as possible, that the tourism can go back, because otherwise they would have a much bigger loss, you know, economic loss. And that's also very, I will for sure, when my friends give me green light, I will go back there and bring people, even that sitting on by the goddess Kumari, there was this really old temple which I loved so much, is no longer there. But there's so many other beautiful parts of Nepal still too.
And the people are very sweet, but it's a devastating event, and and that's why I really did want to talk about it with David today, because I know he's going back in a couple of weeks, and he's going to be bringing people from Maui to help back there. He's actually, well, you're going to take people in by bicycle from the border and bicycle into the outer towns that are hard to reach?
Well, we will be flying directly into Kathmandu. We'll be bringing supplies, including mountain bikes that will, bicycles, mountain bikes, that will be making a one-way trip. They won't be coming back with us. They'll be staying with our friends in Nepal. But we'll be going from Kathmandu via pickup truck, just regular pickup truck, up towards the foothills of the Himalayas, and then from there on, when the roads are impassable, we'll be traveling the rest of the way by mountain bike, and then after that by foot. So that's how we hope to get up to some of these villages that still, to the best of our knowledge, have not yet been attended to or visited by any of the relief agencies in Nepal at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I mean, because it's very hard in the outer areas, getting there in the best of times, let alone now.
Yes.
It's really difficult. So, yeah, and the focus has got to be where they're looking at Nepal, where they see all the destruction and death going on. So many people injured. I don't even know how medically they help out so many people who are injured. The hospitals have to be overflowing with 18,000, I think they say, injured. It's mind-boggling, but I know you are going to be there to help, and it's nice to know the people from Maui are going to be going and have been going, and so there is a connection there from Maui to Nepal as well. But I really am excited. I may be going on this trip to Bhutan. I know I saw the movie that Tom Vendetti did on Bhutan, and I love their philosophy and their way of life, and a beautiful, beautiful people and a beautiful culture, and a very sacred place that I think everyone should learn from. I think that you could learn so much from their people and their way of life. So I'm so glad you're going. What's the best way for people to find out more about your trip and information about the trip you're doing in October?
Right now, the easiest way to find out is, of course, giving me a phone call, and I can give him information. But I have also a website, which is embodiedspirituality.com, embodiedspirituality.com, and then you can click on Sacred Journeys and Bhutan, and it has an itinerary from day one, you know, to day 10, where we're going, what we're doing, and how we are moving in this country. And people can, of course, read that, and they have questions, they can contact me. However, because October is the high season in Bhutan, that means it's beautiful weather. It's absolutely not too cold. It's warm in the winter, like in high altitudes, like in the mountain region of Switzerland, you know, where you can be. And in the evening, it chills down. But the weather is just the perfect weather to go. And through that, it's lots of people will go during that time. And so the air flights are limited. So I have to have the people definitely to make up their mind by no later than end of June or July. And by July, it's already going to be iffy. Maybe I have space in my group, but there will be not space on the Dragon's back on the Nook Air. So it is something which I hope, if you do have it on your bucket list or if you ever wanted to go there, I think that's the time now to go, because as I said, we never know what will be there tomorrow.
What's your telephone number?
808-572-6006.
572 what?
6006.
6006. 572-6006. It's Kutira, K-U-T-I-R-A. Embodied Spirituality?
Correct.
EmbodiedSpirituality.com. You have a lovely place out there in Huelo, kind of retreat in itself.
Yep.
And you do beautiful work, and I know you've been doing it for years. And it's, I remember when you were working with John Lilly. I was thinking the other day about John Lilly. You were working with him in the dolphin work for a while, and yeah, so it's so good to connect with you. I know you're working with the nuns. Are you